So anyways, I'm going to talk about using a signal in the Great Barrier Reef to assess water status over the course of a season, and how to spatially decide where this water deficits might happen. So vineyard sizes, or permanent planting sizes in California are getting larger due to consolidation. So on average, we're seeing about a 250-260 acre size of vineyard plantings. And when you get to that size, the systems are not uniform, meaning that there's quite a bit of variability from one side of the vineyard to the other. We previously reported on the topography and the soil affecting this variability, and this is compromising vineyard efficiency. Previously, we looked at the differences in elevation and how these changes in elevation and slope is affecting the water holding capacity, and where a film of water might settle in as it's flowing down hillsides. The challenge for growers for permanent crops is, like, we know that spatial variability exists, but we don't know how to harness it and individualize the effects of these differences. Previously, people have looked at soil pedology. They have opened up lots of soil pits, analyzed differences in soils. It's kind of difficult to do these in very large vineyards. So this is usually done based on grid sampling, meaning that known distances are set within a vineyard. Then you put essentially a fishnet, and then open up soil pits and sample these, which is very time consuming. More recently, we have been looking at proximal sensing, meaning that we can use electronic sensors deployed on vineyard vehicles that can, measure these things on the fly. However, even with these, we still need ground truthing, but based on the clustering of these sensor outputs, you can do stratified sampling, meaning that you can take a less sample size. Use of carbon 13 differentials in California vineyards. We did it previously about 2-3 years ago, and we calibrated this. It seems to be working. However, we wanted to link this to a proximal sensing signal in this work. So background, there's a plant available water in the soil, which is affecting how plants grow, how the roots can send the signals to the top portion of the plant that can induce chemical changes in the fruit, and then finally in the berry composition. The water deficits in vineyards are a known phenomenon. In California, majority of the vineyards have to be irrigated because we do not receive enough precipitation. In our vineyard water status, we previously reported that the spatial prediction of a flavonoid content in our vineyards is based on the water status of the whole vineyard over the course of a season. And this has been a reliable proxy for flavonoid composition. So in the first inset here, I'm showing the stem water potential change through the course of a season, starting on the middle of July all the way to a harvest. As you can see, the vineyard is separating into two different regions, two different management zones, based on how the soil is able to supply water. On the other inset, I'm showing the spatial distribution of anthocyanin content in a vineyard, and this is changing depending on the water supply of the vineyard, although the vineyard is uniformly irrigated. We have used a C13 signal previously, and even before us, other people have reported this. Rubisco catalyzes the fixation of atmospheric carbon dioxide. You have three isotopes, C12, C13, and C14. C12 has preference by the plant. The kinetic preference is for C12. As water stress happens, the stomata is closed. C12 is taken up preferentially. When the stomata are closed, it will use all the substratum available for sugar production. So C13 will be embedded in the sugars that the plant produces. So there's a very good relationship across California between C13 differentials and plant physiological measurements that we have taken across four vineyards. So the first inset is C13 versus stomal conductance. It's inversely related. Likewise for net carbonate assimilation. It's directly related to the intrinsic water use efficiency, and it's also, again, going to be indirectly related to the stem water potential across the state of California. So we looked at isohydric and so-called anisohydric cultivars across California, so it seems to work very well. So what we wanted to do in this trial was that we had an overarching goal. We said, can we proximally sense soil variability using a common tool and link it to our plant water status? Is there a fundamental relationship between proximally sensed soil variability and soil water content? Is there a relationship between proximally sensed soil water content and our plant water status? And if we can use a reliable proxy to confirm this relationship by using smart points in a vineyard. We don't want to take too many measurements. So traditionally, we use stem water potential measurements. These are, mapped using a statistical software. You generate management zones, but we want to cut down this time by just using proximal soil sensing, use smart points to ground truth this, and then map this out in the long run. So this is a Cabernet Sauvignon vineyard. It's one of our newer vineyards. It's in the second year of our productivity. It's highly dense. It's a single high wire trial. It's a cordon trained. It's irrigated at 50% of crop demand replacement. This vineyard is mechanically managed, meaning that we don't use any hand labor. It's pruned, shoot thinned, and if there's need, leaf removed by a machine 100%. So the soils were proximally sensed using an EM38 geonics sensor. It's a magnetic induction. It sends a signal down into the soil at two depths, 75 centimeters and 150 centimeters. And then this signal was then ground truth based on an equidistant grid, 30 meter by 30 meter grid. So in this vineyard, there were 14 points dropped, 14 pins dropped. And then three grapevines made an experimental unit. So in a vineyard, we were monitoring 42 plants. And the geostatistical analysis was done in R in this case. Furthermore, using the data that we generated, we generated soil pedology based on grid sampling, 14 experimental units again at these two depths. And then on these 14 units, we looked at primary metabolism and secondary metabolism to further ground truth our results. So looking at the results, we knew that there was a spatial variability in this vineyard. And it has been a vineyard that has been terraformed initially when it was planted. We knew from the slope that was going in this vineyard. So when you look at this first inset figure, this is stem water potential integrals. This is a whole season plant water status across the season. It's ranging from negative 1.4 to negative 0.9 megapascals across the season. So we apply a very simple machine learning algorithm and cluster the similar means together. That's what gives you the two regions, moderate and severe water status. So we know that the vineyards are behaving differently or differentially across the year. This is looking at the relationship between the stem water potential and the soil electrical conductivity as we measured with the soil sensing. The first inset is stem water potential integrals versus deep electrical conductivity at negative 1.5 meters. So there's a direct relationship. So as stem water potentials increase, less water stress, your electrical conductivity will increase. Conversely, on the surface of the soil, which dries out faster in California, we're not able to find a relationship. This is the relationship between stomal conductance and deep soil electrical conductivity. Again, we have a strong relationship here, highly significant. Conversely, we're not able to repeat this relationship in the surface. This is the ground truthing measurement. This is deep electrical conductivity measured proximally on the x-axis versus what we measured from our pedology samples. Again, we have a strong direct relationship with the deep soil electrical conductivity, however, not in the surface again. This is the correlation between the on-site sampled electrical conductivity by soil pedology and then soil moisture content at field capacity. In the deep soil EC, which will supply the rest of the water for the plants after Verizon, we have a strong relationship again. So these were quite encouraging. So when we looked at the stemwater potential between severe and moderate management zones in this vineyard, we're seeing that the stemwater potentials are separating. We know that. Stone model conductance is also separating. We knew that as well. When we regress the integrals of our stemwater potential to our stone model conductance, we have the fundamental relationship between these that we know that we have a physiological phenomenon. Then we took the C13 signal from the berries at harvest. We regressed it to stemwater potential integrals. Very strong relationship here. So it's a good assessor again. Stone model conductance, a strong relationship there again. Not as strong in net carbon assimilation, but again, a very strong relationship in intrinsic water use efficiency. As the work is developing, we're going to generate the integrals of deep electrical conductivity across the season, and we're hoping that the probability of value of this will improve as the work goes on and develops further. So when we look at the relationship between anthocyanins and ripening in grapevines, there's a very mechanistic relationship between these. So here's the total soluble solids on the x-axis, total skin anthocyanins in the berry. We see that the moderate and severe management zones are ripening a little bit differently. And this reveals itself on the berry weight and skin weight. They're statistically different. And when we looked at the anthocyanin composition, peonidin and melvin glucosides are different than high and moderate water stress. And the hydroxylation ratios of these anthocyanins are different as well by zone. So in the Mediterranean climate, delineating a vineyard by plant water status with a C13 signal is a reliable assessor due to the water status affecting our berry chemistry. Proximal sensing related well to season-long vineyard water status. We have been using this for quite some time, but this is actually a first report that this is an actual physiological phenomenon. Season-long water status differences, of course, affected primary metabolism. It was then clustered to create management zones, and then spatial information was finally converted to knowledge to take action to for future work. For future work, this can be used for a selective harvest by mechanical means. We demonstrated that previously, about 7 years ago. You can do continuous monitoring for soil water salinity by installing sensors in smart points, cut down the number of point installations. Of course, available rate irrigation can be done into different zones, and then this will cut down on zones for or points to install smart sensors in vineyards. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge the people that supported Runze Yu, who's the student that's doing this work, and I'm out of time.
We have time for a couple of questions.
Oh,
I guess maybe more of a comment on this long drip irrigated, vineyard rows, especially on the slope, it's really hard to make adjustments for irrigation because, distribution uniformity is pretty poor. It's really hard to improve it. Even though you know your zones, mm-hmm. You can irrigate it differently. How do you address that?
The question is, how do you manage pressure compensation across long rows? You use pressure compensating emitters. So distribution uniformity in this vineyard is close to 95% because this is an experimental vineyard with 34 vines per row. In a previous, in typical vineyards that I used to work at, they're a half mile long. but they use a, what they call a Euro drip. It's already a pre-punch with a pressure compensating emitters. I mean, they spent a lot of money. That depends on the infiltration rates of the soils. I mean, we tried that in Galt at a small family-run company run out of Modesto. Doubling the irrigation amounts in these zones post-Verizon just increased the berry size. It did not affect the yield, which is the main driver in grape culture, in viticulture. We want more yield. So, anyways, that's all I have.